The Bill Myers Show podcast is sponsored by Clouser Drilling. They've been leading the way in Southern Oregon well drilling for over 50 years. Find out more about them at clouserdrilling.com. Good morning and happy Pebble in Your Shoe Tuesday. So you got a pebble, a grain of sand, or a boulder, you can check in. 770-5633, 770-KMED. My email, by the way, is bill@billmyershow.com. Read them all. If I don't respond right away, sometimes I've responded to people 2-3 weeks. I'm one guy. You know, I am the chief cook and bottle washer and everything else. And just know that I do see what you're doing. And call the show, 770-5633. The one thing I would remind people, though, a little bit of talk radio etiquette. If you block the caller ID on your phone, you will not get through. Okay? It's just one of those things where the trolls like to block their caller ID. And so because of that, we just say no. Okay? It's just one of those things. Don't have time for the trolls, but we do have time for you. Once again, 770-5633. Wow. It's an interesting time. We survived the eclipse yesterday, and there's a... Did it strike you as kind of almost like the country goes pagan on something like that? Everybody getting together, they're all chanting, you know, out there. It just sort of reminded me of that, like... A bunch of, you know, I'm glad nobody had their hearts cut out. Nothing like that. You know, we didn't want to, you know, go the old Aztec way. But there's just something about that as they're all cheering and getting together and chanting in some of those places. I don't know, just kind of odd. I'm okay that we didn't really have that much of an eclipse here in Southwest Oregon. It's all right. In fact, I didn't even really notice it dimming all that much. Did you? I don't know. But anyway, humans are pretty funny for the most part. They're pretty funny. Interesting story. Richard Emmons from the Oregon Eagle. He's the publisher and the editor. He sent me a report last night, and this has to do with what's going on with Governor Kotek. I don't know if you're aware of this or not. But State Senator Art Robinson and Representative Dwayne Yunker have both been taking a lot of incoming lately. They've been taking a lot of incoming from the various press organs, including the Grants Pass Daily Courier, because they made what I believe and what Richard also believes are principled no votes. And the claim is that it costs Josephine County money for much-needed local government building projects, right? So this is what they're talking about. All tons of other local politicians ended up going out there and putting out the newsletters talking about, oh, look what we did and look what I got in. We got the grant stream funding for this and that and the other. Richard reports here that other local politicians were praised for getting funding projects such as $1 million for the city of Gold Hill for water distribution upgrades and $1.5 million to Shady Cove to develop their local water treatment plant. Well, guess what? Yesterday, Governor Tina Kotek, the hand that gives might be the hand that taketh awayeth. Governor Tina Kotek said that these and many other projects may get the chopping block, may get axed for the governor's line item veto. The reason given for that is that the projects won't clearly result in new housing projects being built. Guys, remember, that's been the whole thing. A lot of this grant stream funding was all about whether or not it will be new houses being built. The affected cities have the opportunity to provide more information in hopes of securing the money. This is from the governor's office. Representative Yunker ends up texting to Richard Emmons of the Oregon Eagle saying, maybe the governor is signaling to the Republicans, watch what you say or I will cut your projects. Now, I don't know that for sure, he says. Emmons concludes here, there's really no way to read the governor's mind on these vetoes. A year ago, Governor Kotek vetoed money budgeted to study the impact of legalizing prostitution in Oregon. And a year ago, we applauded the governor for that veto, that's for sure. We'll need to wait and see. Now, some of these other projects that are going to be vetoed here. So it's kind of like, gee, what's the point of kissing the queen's hind end when the queen decides she's just going to cut the money anyway? $3 million to the Oak Lodge Water Services Authority, $3 million to the city of Siletz, $3 million to Tualatin Valley for upgrades to the pump station in Beaverton, $1.5 million to the city of Butte Falls. This is a big deal for Butte Falls, right? Little Butte Falls. $1.5 million to the city of Butte Falls for wastewater treatment plant and lift station upgrades, $1.5 million to the city of Shady Cove for the city's drinking water system, $1 million to Cresswell for wastewater, and $1 million to the city of Gold Hill for replacing the water distribution main line. That's the big main line that's going to be plugging into the Medford Water Commission system. You know, that one. Because, let's face it, it's as expensive as that's going to be, it's less expensive than trying to do their own water treatment plant. City of Gold Hill, you just can't make that pencil. Just not enough enough population base to go alone. All right, so there we go. That the Queen, I don't know, it you know, just off the top of my head, it may have nothing to do with the fact that Robinson and Younger have not been particularly happy with the governor's agenda. But, of course, the main thing, those grant stream fundings that have been talked about, including even the city of Gold Hill, Shady Cove, and everything else, they're really not about building more houses. So I think that's really where the governor is coming down on. Same with the city of Grants Pass. Did I get that right? Oh, I'm sorry. Shady Cove and various other things. So, yeah. So they're talking about getting rid of these things that don't have to do directly with building homes. And it's like the new water system in the city of Grants Pass doesn't really have anything to do with that. Same with Shady Cove, same with Gold Hill, all the rest of it. It's really about servicing the existing infrastructure. So you could see why the governor could make that case for this. But it does look kind of funny. Now, pulling it for, you know, it may not be as much political as the fact that it really doesn't really fulfill what she had talked about doing in the first place, about building homes. Because, you know, the Jackson County politicians, you know, they all ended up kissing the ring of the Queen Bee, you know, Governor Kotek, and they're talking about cutting programs in Jackson County, grant stream funding in Jackson County, too. So it could be something that it's just not really about building the houses. Of course, if they really want to build houses, just like I've been saying in my critique of what AllCare came out the other week for, we need to be able to build more houses. Yep, I absolutely agree. You need to build more houses. But I'll tell you what, not when you're dealing with a situation where, you know, the governors are putting out 15-minute climate-friendly, equitable community, you know, executive orders to take over downtown cities, what they're going to be doing here over the next few years, right? You're not going to get that because people don't want to live there, but they don't want you living in the suburbs either. Urban growth boundary. Certainly don't want you living out in the rural areas. But is anyone going to call for the obvious, which is to repeal state land use control? No other state in the entire country does state land use control. And we're sitting around here wondering why we're so short of housing and such. We can talk about that in more this morning. When are you going to get to the bottom line of this, huh? A lot of people wrote me about the conversation with George Sexton, Mr. Gangrene himself. I think he embraces that that nickname completely. It was a good talk. It really was a good talk. But I'll be curious to see and read some of these emails. They're quite pointed on that. I'll share some of those a bit later on the program, too. Mr. X says he's also going to call in and have something or two to say about what George Sexton was discussing yesterday about fire on the land. Fire, fire, fire. Yeah, it is kind of like gangrene for the most part. It's sort of like, you know, the old Beavis and Butthead cartoon. Fire, 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 fire. Fire, fire, fire. Forest is restored. Yeah, 22 after 6. This is the Bill Myers Show.
American Rent Your Garage is your premier auto care provider, serving Medford, Central Point, and the Rogue Valley, providing nothing less than the highest quality standard of professionalism on every single service and repair. Call today. Appointments are available for oil change to engine change. Get the peace of mind you deserve at American Rent Your Garage on Biddle, across from Elmer's. 499-6673. 499-6673. American Rent Your Garage. We stand behind every job we do, with service you can trust.
Hi, this is Bill Meyer, and I'm with Charisse from No Wires Now, your Dish Premier local retailer. It's time to switch to Dish.
If you have DirecTV or cable TV, call me today to see how I can save you money. Plus, I'll lower your internet and cell phone bills.
And those offers in the mail from Dish, you can go through No Wires Now for those.
Call me at 541-680-5875.
Call Charisse like I did or visit their showroom off Biddle Road in Medford, nowiresnow.com. Restrictions apply. Call for details. Internet and cell phone service not provided by Dish.
It's home show season. The next one for Johnson Builders will be Southern Oregon Home Show at the Jackson County Expo in early May. But you don't have to wait to get low home show pricing right now for any building you need. From a small shop to a huge riding area, residential or commercial, Johnson Builders is the leading authority on post and frame construction in the region. So get a quote on your project and take advantage of special home show pricing. Visit Johnson.Builders.
Johnson Builders, building for your future.
Hi, it's John at Welburn's Weapons. The only thing better than shooting is shooting with a suppressor. Welburn's is Southern Oregon's suppressor headquarters, stocking models from Silencer Co., Dead Air, Griffin Armament, Rugged, Q, Thunderbeast, and many more. And we can order practically any suppressor on the market. Check in with us for monthly incentives to save on suppressors, too. Come see the suppressor experts. Welburn's Weapons on Crater Lake Highway, just south of White City.
Hi, I'm Jolene from Phoenix Auto Center Tire Pros, and I'm on 106.7 KMED.
624. It is open phones on Pebble in Your Chute Tuesday. You got some time? Go ahead and join in. 770-5633. I saw someone trying to sneak in without their caller ID on. And I'm kind of laughing at it. I'm looking at it. And because I had turned it off temporarily just to see if anyone was going to bite on the troll thing. And yep, they tried. Oh, trolls are funny. Trolls are funny. No, you have to tell me who you are when you're calling. That's all right. We like full caller ID. All right. 25 minutes after 6. I had an email from Deplorable Patrick yesterday. I didn't get a chance to get to it on Monday. I'm going to share a little bit of his thought here right now. He says, Bill, I'm still not sold on Congressman Cliff Benz. A while back when you and he talked about CBDCs, that is the central bank digital currencies that he should be yelling about, he didn't bring up the subject. You did. I don't think he is with us. I'd like to see him out. What do you think, Deplorable Patrick? Deplorable Patrick, I'm certainly fine with a bit of churn in Congress, all right? But you have one semi-decent, you have one, okay, let's just say just decent con. Just one decent congressman, one in the state of Oregon, who is not doing absolutely everything that you think that he should be doing. And what is your option? Work with the one you have and try to help him out. Okay? Let me just... God, the troll keeps calling back. Oh, you crack me up, troll. But anyway... I'm sorry, I'm just giving you kind of an aside. I have a little bit of ADD, you know, going on right now. You know, the flasher keeps going on, and they're not identifying their caller ID. They just get dumped. That's just the way it works, okay? Anyway, back to Cliff Benz. Cliff Benz does not focus on CBDCs because I don't think that's his main focus in Congress. They do divvy up duties here. Deplorable Patrick, not everybody gets into absolutely every single issue there is because there's not enough time. There's division of labor goes on. Let's take a look at the committees that Cliff Benz is on. He's on the House Natural Resources Committee, the Subcommittee on Water, Wildlife, and Fisheries. He's the chairman of that. So he's powerful on such issues. He's also the Subcommittee on Federal Lands. He's also in the House Judiciary Committee, Subcommittee on the Administrative State, Regulatory Reform, and Antitrust, also Subcommittee on Courts, Intellectual Property, and the Internet. Now, remember, Cliff Benz's strength going into Congress was his natural resources and water skills. Because remember, in the private sector, he was a water lawyer, water law lawyer. He's the one that was able to tease out all this stuff. And that's why... You know, he ended up getting in too late to do much of anything about the Klamath. You know, the Klamath was way down
That whole fraud was way down the situation, and one guy out of 425 is not going to, is it 425? Yeah, I think so. One out of 425 is not going to affect much change on something like that. You'd have to have massive support to get involved and get anything passed. You can barely get anything passed in Congress right now that's any good. Most of the stuff that gets passed is bad because there's only like one or two seats for the Republicans, and half of them are big liberal Republicans. You know, that's what we're dealing with right now. So just about everything that does go through Congress has a whole lot of bad Democrat influence in it. That's just the way it is. That's what they love. That's what they love. So Cliff has been doing the fight on water and natural resources, doing the wolf problems here, the wolf predations out here in Oregon. He's been holding town halls on that. He's been holding hearings on trying to stop the Snake River in the Columbia to have done to it what was done to the Klamath. That's his focus. That's what he knows. That's his wheelhouse. Now, there are some other things that he's a member of the following caucuses and groups. So I just wanted to let you know, this is the stuff that Cliff knows and is involved in. All right. Congressional Western Caucus, Conservative Climate Caucus. So in other words, he's trying to stop the climate change fraud that is pushed out there. I think that's pretty important. He's also part of the German-American Caucus. I guess that must be a friendly one. The International Conservation Caucus, Main Street Partnership, Oceans Caucus, Propane Caucus. There's a caucus for propane? I guess there is. Propane and propane accessories. And Rural Health Caucus. Of course, that's big. His second district has a lot of rural land in it. Small Brewers Caucus, because we all have to hoist a small brew now and then. The Sportsman's Caucus, which also includes Second Amendment issues, okay? Veterinary Medicine Caucus, Wildfire Caucus. Boy, we certainly need that around here, huh? The Wine Caucus and the Cheese Caucus. The Wine and Cheese Caucus. You got to love that. Got to love that. Now, not to put too fine a point on it, every Congress critter gets involved in things that that they have skills in. And also, it's a matter of if you have the seniority and someone thinks you can do some good and they put you on it. All right. That's the way this works. And it doesn't appear that finance with the central bank digital currency is part of that. So you can understand why he's not going to come on my show and start yelling about that, because, A, there's no legislation going on right now about central bank digital currencies. There just isn't. All right. So you just have to understand that. Let me see. Where else is that? There is a committee that might be more in line with this, and that's the Financial Services Committee. But Cliff Pence is not on that. Think about 30 or 40 people that are on that committee. Maybe get in touch with them and see what they're thinking about it. In fact, I don't think anyone from Oregon is on any of these finance committees. But anyway, check that out, Patrick. So just remember, not every Congress is going to hyper-focus on every single issue that there is out there. I think that if the central bank digital currency issue came up with Cliff Bentz, I'm pretty sure he'd be a no vote on that. But yeah, there's no legislation going on about that right now. Just a lot of shadowy stuff going on behind the scenes. And if the dollar crashes and burns, they'll probably shove a central bank digital currency in as an emergency. In other words, it's an emergency or else the entire system crashes. And then where do you go? Kind of like with 9/11 and FISA and all the rest of it. This is the Bill Meyer Show on KMED, KCMD. I'm not saying give Cliff Bentz a pass. Just understand that there are many, many things that people do in Congress, and they divide up the duties. And Cliff's beat is not central bank digital currencies. Okay? All right.
NBC 5 News is now on Cozy TV every night at 10. Here's how to find it. If you're on Spectrum, tune to channel 188. If you're receiving NBC 5 over the air, tune to 5.2. And you can stream NBC 5 News on Cozy at klvi5.com. Need help finding Cozy? Our engineers will answer your questions. Just call us. NBC 5 News is now on Cozy TV every night at 10. Visit klvi5.com for a complete list of available platforms.
This is Bill Meyer. Appreciate you waking up mornings with me, 6 to 9 on KMED and KCMD. But I get it. Life can be busy. Sometimes you might miss a show or segment or what did that guest say again?
and that's when you can catch up and stay current with my podcast. The last 3 months of shows are available for free download and sharing on KMED.com. Podcasts are sponsored by Clouser Drilling, and they're online at ClouserDrilling.com. And thanks to Clouser, you can drill into what really happened on The Bill Myers Show on KMED.com. News sponsored by Caveman Heating and Air. It's the climate, and we control it. Call Caveman Heating and Air at 541-476-0009 or cavemanheating.com.
Good morning. I'm Natalie Cerno with your NBC5 Morning News Update. Governor Tina Kotek is considering several line item vetoes for budget allocations from the 2024 legislative session, including in the Rogue Valley. They include the following: $1.5 million to the city of Butte Falls for wastewater treatment plant and lift station upgrades, $1.5 million to the city of Shady Cove for development of the city drinking water system, and $1 million to the city of Gold Hill for replacement of a water distribution main line and upgrades to water treatment facilities. Then La Clinica is partnering with Southern Oregon University to operate its student health center. Starting this September, La Clinica will be operating the on-campus Student Health and Wellness Center with the goal of continuing to provide students with high-quality, affordable care. D'Amato says every student that attends SOU pays a mandatory health fee every term, but they hope with La Clinica they won't have to increase that fee like they have in previous years. Then a beloved philanthropist, Nancy Wendt, passed away last Thursday in Klamath Falls. Wendt worked alongside her husband, who founded the manufacturing company Gelled Wen in the 1960s. At Oregon Tech, they helped fund a new health professional center at the school. Friends say Nancy's passing is a massive loss to the whole community. That's a look at your morning headlines for NBC5 News. I'm Natalie Cerna. Have a great day.
If you want to enjoy everything an active and vibrant senior community has to offer, the Springs at Anna Maria Medford is the right lifestyle option for you. Life is easier living among friends and neighbors in stylish private apartments with large balconies, all while fully supported by our team of dedicated caregivers and service professionals. The Springs at Anna Maria is located in a quiet neighborhood close to Rogue Regional Hospital. Call to schedule a tour of the Independent and Assisted Living Community, 541-774-1822.
Join me, Stan Mapolsky, at Grange Co-op in White City this Saturday, 10 a.m. to noon, as I broadcast The Rogue Gardener live during Grange's Planting Day. Grange Co-op will plant your beautiful spring plants and flowers with free G&B organic soil and fertilizer. Buy your pots at the Grange or bring your own, a maximum of 20 inches in diameter and a limit of 3 per person. So get your plants planted and listen to The Rogue Gardener live Saturday, 10 to noon, on location for Planting Day at the White City Grange Co-op.
Hi, it's Jason at Phoenix Auto Center Tire Pros. Through April, purchase a set of 4 Cooper tires for practically whatever you drive, and you'll get a Visa reward card in the mail. Get $100 on top of the line Cooper Discover STT Pro Mud Terrains or Cobra Instincts for your sports car. Get $75 on 5 styles of all-terrain truck tires, including the popular AT3 XLT, and get $50 on 3 styles of all-season passenger tires, including Endeavor. Save on Cooper tires at Phoenix Auto Center. Center Tire Pros.
The Bill Myers Show, 106.3 KMED, 99.3 KCMD.
6:36. If you're like me, and I know I am, I try to ignore President Biden as much as possible, but sometimes I just can't help myself. And yesterday, the president announced another attempt at a massive student loan forgiveness plan. And the first one kind of got shot down, I thought. But anyway, let's break this down. Elaine Parker is the president of the Jobs Creator and Network Foundation. Elaine, it's great to have you back on. And you're in Florida, so you didn't see much of the eclipse yesterday either, right?
No, we didn't see much over here.
That's okay. Well, at least you didn't have those people. Wasn't it kind of, I was just mentioning, it almost seemed like pagan stuff, you know, going on. Like they're all chanting. Did you see some of those scenes with all those people together, you know, in big crowds? Watching the eclipse.
I didn't see that, but I saw people saying that they were crying and it was so emotional. And I just thought, I don't understand why it was an emotional experience, but, you know, everybody's different.
Yeah. All right. Well, you know, the United States, everything about the United States right now, it's about the feels, right? It's about the feels. Reason, logic, it's taking a bit of a backseat. So let's get some reason and logic, since it's so unpopular right now, and connected with what the President Biden is doing. He wants to forgive, what, 20 grand right away for anybody with a lot of interest in student loans. And if you could explain, first off, Didn't the Supreme Court tell him that all of this is unconstitutional, what he's trying to do?
Yeah, we were actually one of the two lawsuits that went to the Supreme Court last year when the court struck down in a 6-3 decision his plan. He was trying to forgive student loans up to $20,000 last year as well under a different law called the HEROES Law, the HEROES Act. And the Supreme Court came back and said it's unconstitutional and that Congress gave you the authority, gave the administration the authority to modify this law, but not to rewrite laws. And so the spirit of it was, you don't have the authority to do mass forgiveness. This is a congressional, this is something Congress has to weigh in on. This is something Congress has to do. And then Congress weighed in and passed a bipartisan bill last year before the Supreme Court ruled that would actually cancel his student debt bailout plan. And it, again, this was bipartisan. Democrats and Republicans both signed on to this bill. It went to his desk, and he actually vetoed it because he needed to do his bailout, right?
Well, he needs to buy some votes, I think, is what's going on, really. I mean, we're looking at it through the political lens, right?
Yeah, under the political lens, for sure. So he's heard from the judicial branch. He's heard from the legislative branch. He's in the executive branch, and so he's acting like a king and just saying, I don't really care what these other two co-equal branches say under the Constitution. I'm going to do it my way. And so now he's trying to pass this new plan under a different legal authority, a different law called the Higher Education Law, which is a sweeping initiative to slash student debt for nearly 30 million Americans. It's still violates what Chief Justice said, and that's that you can modify these laws. You don't have the authority to rewrite them. And these laws don't say that the administration has the authority to do sweeping mass forgiveness. And so it is illegal. It is unconstitutional. And I'm glad to see that the state of Kansas, as well as 11 other states, have filed litigation against the administration to stop this illegal bailout. We shouldn't have to do this. He should be listening to the Supreme Court, but you're right. It's an election year, and this is the way to buy votes.
It could be very symbolic, maybe even knowing that he's not going to be able to make it happen, but it'll be that, oh, he's my friend, right? You know, if you're, you know, you're sitting there as a coffee barista with $100,000 in college debt, and you're thinking that, hey, I want to get even with the system. Maybe it's something as simple as that. Just the, because he's having trouble with younger voters, from what I understand right now.
He is. I've seen those polls. I mean, look, as a policy matter, this bailout plan suffers from the same functional problem as the one last year that the court struck down, is that it does nothing to actually solve the problem and hold these colleges accountable for their role in overcharging these students. And the reality is, every time he forgives another tranche of student loans, it sends a blank check to these colleges and universities that it's okay to keep raising tuition far past the rate of inflation on these students because Uncle Sam's gotcha. They're going to keep wiping out these debts. And the thing is that new students coming up are going to have the expectation of having their loans forgiven because tuition is just going to keep going up and up and up and out of reach. And while we agree with the administration that we have a crisis here, it's $1.7 trillion in student debt out there, all the while the colleges and universities are building, you know, Taj Mahals on their campuses and paying multi-million dollar salaries to their presidents and coaches.
Not to even mention the DEI departments that have been funded quite fat,
exactly. Exactly. They're overbloated with administrators, highly paid administrators, all of those things that they're contributing to. It doesn't solve any of the problems, the root cause. And this administration has a real problem with getting to the root cause of problems. They really just want to throw money at it, taxpayer dollars, instead of solving it.
Elaine Parker, once again, Job Creator Network Foundation, president of that. And Elaine, isn't the root cause of the student debt problem the fact that there's a federally guaranteed loan on this in the first place and that there is a ton of moral hazard that is created with the situation as it is? Because what is something worth? Well, something is worth what you can pay for it. And the bloating of the college budgets have gone up almost to, you know, outpacing even the ability to borrow to pay for it. You know what I'm getting at? You're able to leverage this up and there's absolutely no incentive to, you know, to reduce it. And before, I mean, what did we do before the federally guaranteed college loan? Is that something you could speak to? People went to college before that.
We have real problems within our college lending process. Like I said, we agree that we have a crisis that needs to be addressed. It just needs to be addressed by Congress. But what happened was, what made a broken system even more broken is actually when Barack Obama, when he was president and Joe Biden was vice president, when they took the banks out of the system and they brought it all up to the federal level, it took away any possibility of any kind of success measurement, and it's just an open spigot of money coming out. So these colleges started developing college degree programs, charging out the wazoo for them, but there's no jobs. There's no success measurements. There's nothing to look at and say, if you buy this degree program for $30,000 or $50,000 and you take a loan for it, you can expect to have a job for this, you know, at this salary so you can pay it back. There's absolutely no accountability in that regard. And so you took basically the free market out of the system and said, sell them any kind of degree program you want because Uncle Sam will guarantee it.
Yeah, we'll have you back. But before, even before Barack Obama, if you go back 20, 30, maybe 30 years, let's say, didn't you have to convince a banker of some sort or another that what you were going for was credible, that you could actually pay this back like any other loan?
Well, I mean, certainly there was more of a checks and balances there. We had still had a broken college system.
Even then,
banks still had a say in it. They weren't going to. It's kind of like a business plan. I mean, you had to. There had to be some level of accountability. The colleges, to be able to offer financial aid to their students, would have to show the banks that there was some accountability and some success measurements. By taking the banks out of the process, the federal government essentially said, "Sky's the limit. We'll lend you whatever you need for whatever degree program you want, whether you can get a job in that degree program." I mean, there's a lot of worthless degrees out there. I'm sorry, but I just don't think gender studies is in high demand right now.
Yeah, and certainly getting softer as it goes. You know, Elaine, it's interesting. The moral hazard that is created by this whole thing, there's been such talk about student loan forgiveness for a long time. I know that there are people that will structure their life under the assumption or around the assumption that they're going to be forgiven. And I'll just go to my own family. My own daughter, who's going to be turning 31 here in a few days, has a bunch of medical degrees, and she's doing fine. But she even years ago was telling me, I'm not worrying about paying these bills or paying this loan off because I know at some point it's going to be forgiven, or else I'm just going to get into a situation where I work on the federal government situation, some kind of a favored job plan to work it off. I think a lot of those people are out there just figuring that this is baked in the cake. Do you agree with me on that? I mean, that's my own daughter, you know, living up in the Portland area.
I do. And so I've heard that. But I also hear people talk about the fact that if I get my student loans forgiven, I'm going to go back to school and take out more loans and get another degree. And they're doing it under the idea that now that I'm getting rid of this debt, I'm going to take on more debt because ultimately that'll be forgiven, too. There's a huge moral hazard because we have over $1 trillion in credit card debt out there, too. And so people are going to start to have expectations that the federal government will step in when the crisis gets too big. And we can't have that happen because our system would simply fall apart. We can't have taxpayers. We can't nationalize our credit cards. We can't nationalize our student loans. We can't nationalize our banks. Otherwise, guess where we're going to be? Venezuela.
Yeah, well, I'm sure that that Bernie Sanders would love to do something like that, okay? But we'll set that aside at the moment. Hey, Elaine, what about the situation for people who truly do, for people who really do have good debt and they are just not going to be able to pay that? Are there ways to work around that to get some debt forgiveness for the situation? Because one thing I did not like about the federal government is the fact that you can't discharge this in bankruptcy. And to me, if someone is in that serious of a situation where everything else gets discharged too, maybe student debt should be able to be discharged in bankruptcy for serious cases. What happens to people who really can't pay it? Do you know?
You know, you're right. And I think that is a flaw and something that Congress should look at, you know, as a potential option for people who are in dire straits because, you know, we're not a heartless country, but what they're proposing now doesn't solve the problem. But what you're talking about is a real solution for some specific situations for people who, you know, may have gotten into trouble or picked the wrong classes or had to drop out. You know, there's all kinds of personal reasons that people get into trouble. Mm-hmm. There are consequences to bankruptcy. And so it's a big decision for somebody to make. But right now it's not an option. And I think it should be something that Congress should consider as an option for students. Again, at least that's a solution-oriented avenue to take. The president is looking to just wipe out the debts of people with taxpayer dollars without holding colleges accountable, without holding the borrowers accountable. Nobody's being held accountable except taxpayers, and the problem is just going to keep growing. You and I will be here on your radio station 5 years from now, and the problem will still be here. There'll be new debt. It'll be bigger, and tuition will be higher. You mark my words, 5 years from now, we'll be here.
You know, if it were dischargeable in bankruptcy, I think there would be encouragement from Congress and other federal organs to raise the standards for borrowing, wouldn't you think, if they realized that they could lose that money? Wouldn't that be part of the good thing if it was dischargeable in bankruptcy that way, wouldn't you think?
Absolutely. There'd be some natural forces, including what, you know, consequences. Stepping in, and then just natural market forces will be stepping in. And that's what happens when the government gets too involved in any area, is it distorts the marketplace and we lose any of the natural market forces that sort of make the economy move. And this is one area where the government has really distorted the process.
Now, you're part of the Jobs Creator Network, or Job Creators Network Foundation, of course, so about creating jobs and such. Do most of the jobs being created right now need degrees? Because I think there are a lot of people kind of hiding out as professional students in some ways. Am I right or wrong about that?
I have heard people say that before. I mean, look, there are more jobs available than people to fill them. And one of the biggest areas where we have jobs available are in the skills trades. And I think in the last couple of decades, it's kind of become frowned upon and looked down upon to consider going into the skills trades. And now we have so many jobs there that are available and not enough people to fill them. Let me tell you something. There's no debt when you go to school to be an electrician or a plumber, and you can get out making quite a bit of money. And when you become a master in your field, you can make a lot of money. So much more than you can with a gender studies degree.
Oh, no doubt about that. I guess the question is, though, will liberal urban women be able to start looking at debt-free non-college degree men as prospects? Because that's been part of this, too. You know, you have liberal urban women that are largely looking for other liberal unmarried men, and they're looking for high status, and they refuse to look at the trades as anything other than low status, which is not real in the real world, but it is real in the liberal world. See what I'm getting at?
Well, we're a pretty divided country. Uh-huh. I think that liberal women will always find liberal men, and I think the vice versa on the other side will find that too. The problem is how do we come together as a country and come up with real solutions that help future generations? And when you're looking at student debt or health care or the border issue, or the cost of drugs, you can't just keep throwing taxpayer dollar at it. You have to actually look at how do you solve the root cause of these problems. And what I see from this administration and actually the party overall is that they don't want to solve the problems. They just want to paper over them with more money. And all it does is exacerbate what the real problem is.
Well, solving the problem won't get you reelected, right? There's no need for you then. That's really what it is. You know, there has to be a continuing crisis, and I promise to fix this crisis, and then I keep promising to fix this crisis. All right. Elaine, where can people read to find out more about this? Before we go, though, what is the actual proposal, just to leave the status quo or to dig into this further? What do you think?
For student loans?
Yes, for the student loans, right?
We have to stop the president from moving forward with this student loan bailout. And then we have to force Congress to actually move forward. Senate Republicans last year introduced about 5 pieces of legislation that will do a lot of the things that we as an organization at Job Creators Network have been asking for, and that's hold colleges accountable, set up success measurements for these college degree programs.
Are you trying to say that you should actually make the colleges then to be partners, almost like a semi-guarantor of a loan? Is that kind of what you're getting at?
They should have to underwrite some of these loan programs, some of these degree programs. They're sitting on $800 billion in endowments. They certainly have the money to do so.
Yeah, I would love to see that. In other words, there would be, once again, a great incentive, a nice little carrot for colleges to make sure that, hey, we're not just filling seats with dummies, okay, and taking the money. That's not going to work there. What's your website once again so people can find out more about the point of view here?
They can go to jobcreatorsnetwork.com, sign up for our newsletter, and if they're interested in supporting our efforts to help small businesses, they're welcome to.
All right. Anything that can help small businesses is a big thing, because I'll tell you, would it be fair to say that smaller businesses, given the regulatory state right now, are getting much more crushed than the big ones?
Absolutely. There's a disproportionate effect on small businesses versus big businesses. They just can't handle it as much.
Elaine Parker, President, Job Creators Network Foundation, thanks so much for being on. Appreciate your point of view. Thank you.
Thank you.
653. This is KMED and KCMD.
An intelligent solution is shared with others. This is Randall at Advanced Air. Are you looking for a heating contractor to service your furnace or heat pump? Most of Advanced Air's work comes from clients referring us to their friends and family after a repair. Advanced Air strives to provide excellent service and maintain our 5-star rating on Google, Facebook, and BBB. As a Bryant Factory dealer, Advanced Air is grateful for loyal customers. Your referral is the greatest compliment on a job well done. Advanced Air and Bryant do whatever it takes to deliver best-in-class home comfort.
Make the intelligent choice. Visit myadvancedair.com.
If you have an appliance that's giving you trouble, Just-In-Time Appliance is your fast and affordable mobile appliance repair, serving the Rogue Valley. Just-In-Time services and repairs all brands. Major appliances often can be repaired, extending their life and saving you money. So give Just-In-Time Appliance a no-obligation call for advice on whether it can be fixed with the best warranty available. Before you go to the expense of buying a new appliance, call Just-In-Time Appliance. Online at justintimeappliance.com.
We've heard it all.
The used to be a two-way street.
I told her not to park in foul territory.
Gust of wind blew the basketball hoop over.
I could have sworn I put it in park.
But the reason you need auto body repair doesn't matter to us as much as making your car look new again, and the process easy for you. At Lithia Body and Paint, we've been getting Southern Oregon drivers back on the road since 1946. Service, speed, accuracy. That's Lithia Body and Paint on Bullock Road in Medford.
Got a mess with the IRS or a tax date with the state? You may need representation. Visit FirstResponseIRS.com. First Response Resolution, your local tax resolution experts in Eagle Point, defending your rights as a taxpayer. Visit FirstResponseIRS.com.
106.3 KMED, 99.3 KCMD, and this is the Bill Myers Show.
574-770-5633. It is open phones on Pebble in Your Shoe Tuesday. What happens to be on your mind today? I have a story that I saw the other day. I'm going to share with you in the next few minutes. But I'm at the point where I'm thinking that men cannot win in any situation, no matter what. It has to do with something I read about an Australian story. I'm going to share that for you in the next few minutes. I can't believe what the mom ended up saying back after a kid was rescued. But anyway, we'll talk about that here in just a minute. Bob Shan writes me this morning, "Hey, Bill, got a one-liner for you. Waste water in the Pam Marsh." Oh, I love that. Keep me laughing, Bob. Always appreciate that. Wild Sam and Steve is here. Hello, Steve. How are you on Pebble in Your Shoe Tuesday? What are you thinking?
Well, I'm mostly here.
Oh, good.
I was just thinking... I've been reading a book about the history of the Jewish religion and the time of Christ, and it's very interesting how the bureaucracy did the same thing or functioned in the same way. And it kind of got me thinking about our federal government today. It's kind of like the monarchies used to do, you know, back in ancient times. You know, one king would conquer another king, and they'd have more land, and then they couldn't manage it, so they would anoint a duke or an earl or something as a fiefdom, and they could run that part of the land, and, you know, they weren't really held too accountable as long as they paid their dues to the
as long as they paid monarch. Their tribute. You had to pay the tribute to the monarch, right? That kind of thing.
And so what's the difference between that and how the colleges and universities are running today?
And yeah, it does seem to be the gatekeeper to the to the federal. You know, it's an interesting way of looking at it that college today is really the gatekeeper system for the modern day monarchy in the administrative state, isn't it?
It absolutely is. And I went to college back in the 1960s, so it wasn't as entrenched in those days. I got kind of a useless degree, but it was useful in that I didn't get drafted for 4 years. So it served a purpose, and it actually helped me along the way through my life. And I you know, there is something to a well-rounded education. I wouldn't have known as much as I did. So I think the education was valuable, but I couldn't take it to the bank. I couldn't take my education to somewhere to get a job.
But don't you think that education, you know, the whole idea of a higher education, and I didn't go to college, okay, so I didn't have that experience, so to speak. I've had to work and fend for myself, gosh, you know, as soon as I was 18, really, you know, I was out and earning my own way. So I guess I have a different way of looking at that. And so I really get irritated at the whole concept of we, the taxpayers, and we regular schmoes having to pay for these kids.
The fiefdom, the dukes and earls of the colleges and universities now aren't held accountable because they aren't producing valuable stuff. Now, one of the things that has happened is the federal government has been hiring people who have graduated from college with useless degrees. Mm-hmm. I was speaking with a lady who is the Department of Interior, the BLM, was at one of the sportsman shows, and she and I were having a little fencing duel over how stupid they are. And I was trying to be respectful but give her points that she couldn't answer, and she was pretty good at dodging. But
okay,
at the end of the deal, I said, hey, what do you see is the biggest problem facing the Department of Interior now? And her answer was, well, you have to almost have two PhDs to get hired.
And if you have two PhDs, chances are you have no practical experience in much of anything at that point.
Yeah, that's absolutely true.
I mean, I'm talking about practical experience. You, in other words, it is an indicator that you have sat in a classroom for the most part for many years, and that you are down
and
with
you can
the system.
Tests.
Yeah. And, yes. Okay.
But the federal.
And by the way, I'm not trying to insult PhDs. I know there's a lot of brain power going on there, Steve. But I'm saying though, to get hired to be in the Department of the Interior, two PhDs practically. No wonder.
Yes. Well, it's full. It's full of people with useless degrees, and so they have to figure out a way to justify hiring someone new.
But these are also the same kind of individuals quite often, given the fact that academia is leaning so far left. They look at they look at our area out here, Southwest Oregon, Northern California, and we people living here might as well be bugs to them because
they want to run us out, that's for sure. Hey, real quickly, the ham radio deal.
Yeah.
That classes are going to start on April 20th. And, you know, if you're interested, go to carehamradio.com, and there is a sign-up sheet there. Mm-hmm. Also, that club, the Care Ham Radio Club, is having their monthly meeting tomorrow night, Wednesday, at the Fiesta Restaurant here in Medford. The Fiesta Restaurant's been very nice to us, and so I'd like to give them a little plug there. But anybody's welcome.
Well, thanks for abusing my radio station. Next time I'm going to have to charge Fiesta Restaurant for that, okay?
Okay, well, send me a bill.
All right, you got it. By the way, you put on a great swap. By the way, you put on a great swap meet. I bought a couple of shortwave receivers when I was there, you know, a few weeks ago for that. That was fun. And I got them moving along to people that are going to use them, all right? It's a minute after 7. Let me go to line 1. Hello, KMED, KCMD. It is Pebble in Your Shoe Tuesday. Got a pebble, boulder, or something else? Let's hear it. Good morning.
Hey, Bill.
Yeah.
Hey, I thought you had said devil in your shoe.
No, pebble.
Just fitting. Say one and the same, right?
Yeah.
That said, I want to just thank him. Captain Bill, the radio work he's doing is just the Lord's work. So it's nice that he's preparing people for that. I just take advantage of those spots if you can. He's a great
man.
But the bottom line is, Bill, it's a brood of vipers that we speak with. They can't speak any good. Out of the abundance of the heart, doth the mouth speak. And we don't even need to listen. The stuff that's coming up from Salem, and you know, we were talking about education. My sister has a degree in international relations, but yet her whole career, she's never used it. rarely they use degrees. I think more it's more of just a symbol of service, a symbol that you can show someplace for 4 years, pay the money that's necessary to pay, or in a lot of cases, sign your soul over. And it's just a tool of the enemy, I believe. And
it is a symbol. It is a symbol that you are down with the elite agenda, that you are open to that. You are part of that club, so to speak, right? That kind of thing.
In essence, it is. And, you know, the bottom line is most of the people, at least in my life that I know personally, who really I consider a success, because success isn't all about money, Bill. I know you know that. I would say that probably 90% of them didn't go to college. It's the ones who were self-driven, who pulled themselves up from the bootstraps. They didn't have the parents to fund it. I mean, in some cases, the most successful mothers I know are college. They have college degrees that they don't even use, but they just went because that was the thing to do. And they had parents, you know, who came from privilege, if you want to call it that. But the bottom line is everything is divine. And if you do what you're supposed to do, you're going to be blessed no matter what.
Interesting take on that. I appreciate your call. 3 minutes after 7, this is KMED and KMED HD1 Eagle Point Medford, KCMD Grants Pass at 99.3 FM. We'll check Town Hall News here in just a moment. More of your calls coming up on Pebble in Your Shoe Tuesday, including, can men catch a break in the culture? I'll share that story coming up.